especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended.
Yep, that's a very bronze Donald Trump in his big, important statement this week about abortion. He desperately tried to thread the needle. And that was just a brief clip of like 12, 15 minute meandering, as I mentioned, bronze colored soliloquy. You know, he's trying to make the case that everyone wanted Roe ended, and which, of course, that's not true. OK, it's not true at all. And then he says it wants to be a state issue. He's trying to be nuanced, a guy who doesn't do nuance very well. But the fact is, he's very proud of killing Roe v. Wade. You know, he hasn't always been this nuanced on the issue. Here he is with Chris Hayes way back in 2015 during a town hall.
I would say that it's a very serious problem, and it's a problem that we have to decide on. It's very hard.
But you're forbidding
it. Are you going to say, well, wait, are you going to say put them in jail? Is that what I'm asking you about?
Because you say you want to ban it.
I am pro-life, yes.
What is ban? How do you ban abortion? How do you actually do it?
Well, you know, you'll go back to a position like they had where people will perhaps go to illegal places,
yeah,
but you have to ban it.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
10 years?
I don't know. I don't know.
You take positions and everything else.
I do take positions and everything else. It's a very complicated position.
I'm asking, you're running for president. I'm not. What should a woman face if she chooses to have an abortion?
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play that game.
You said you're pro-life.
I am pro-life.
That means banning abortion.
And so is the Catholic Church pro-life.
Yeah. Back then, he decided that women should get punished for getting abortions. Punished. So after he gave his big statement, the very next day this week, as maybe you probably heard already, Arizona Supreme Court decided on a case that basically addressed the 2022 abortion law the state legislature passed that said if Roe v. Wade was ever struck down, that the old law written in 1864 would go into effect, a territorial law from 1864. They had chances to stop it. They didn't. Well, guess what? It came out and the Supreme Court of Arizona said, no, the 2022 law is abrogated. The 15-week ban they had in place was thrown out. It went all the way back 160 years to the 1864 law saying that all abortions are banned in the state of Arizona, except for the quote, the life of the mother, in order to start with this. But here's where it gets interesting for me as a commentator and a watcher of all things political. The Republicans have reacted well. Mixed, let's just say. Here's one of my favorite clips of the week. Here's the Larry Kudlow Show with right-wing talk show host Mark Simone offering his expert opinion on abortion.
Business, how does this play out?
It hurts Trump for a few days, and then people start to realize this is not the worst thing in the world.
He may come out. He'll come out against us. Oh, no, maybe he won't. But remember, his point was the legislature, Mark. He didn't mention the court. So this is tricky. State Supreme Court, does that qualify as a state decision?
Yeah, that's what it is to be pro-choice. Yeah. The states can decide. If you had to travel to another state to get an abortion, it's not the worst thing in the world. Hopefully, this is a very rare occurrence in your life. Once in your life, maybe you would do it. Buying a bus ticket to go somewhere to get it is not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, just buy a bus ticket. Go get an abortion. It's not the worst thing in the world. Just have to do it like one time. There you have three old white guys with opinions. Well, we are talking about this with an actual woman on this show. I'm not going to waste any time, so let's get on with the show. Man, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am your host, Fred Wellman. You're right here with On Democracy, the FP Wellman. With me, Fred Wellman. I am so excited for this week's show. As the craziness before we went to music tells you, I just wanted to, I wanted to actually have a human, like a woman human, because the idea of all these guys talking about reproductive rights, I'm so excited that this week's show, we have one of our favorite guests, the first three-time guest, Rachel Vindman, comes back. This is the thing, we were just talking before we went, that we have to like an SNL thing. When you get five, you get like a jacket or something like that. If you don't know her by now, I don't know how, but Rachel Vindman is a wife, a mom, podcast host, writer, activist, co-host the Suburban Women Problem podcast, and still an advisory board member for the Renew Democracy Initiative. They had their big gala in New York, right? You were up in New York for their big gala, weren't you, just recently?
That's correct. Oh, yes, last week.
Man, I'm sorry I missed that out here in St. Louis. Welcome back to the show. Three-timer, both audio and video. So thanks. And, you know, let's just jump right in. You know, I think you and I were, so people who know, I had Rena Shah on about, I guess, 3 years ago right now. So mm-hmm. I told everybody then about our secret group chat where the three of us talk.
Yeah.
And the group chat exploded yesterday. I don't know. One of us was really angry. I'm not going to mention which one it was.
Mm-hmm.
About that Kudlow clip specifically, where here's these three men discussing, you know, just how easy it is just to hop on the bus and go get an abortion. I mean, that's not quite accurate, is it, Rachel?
It is. It's just beyond insulting. We cannot play that clip enough, similar clips enough. And I'm upset.
Yeah.
And I'm also really, I'm mad, but I'm really sad because, you know, I live in Florida now.
Ugh.
And we have a ballot initiative in November.
Yep.
Arizona doesn't have that.
Yep.
The best case scenario for Arizona is they elect a new legislature in November. And next year, after that legislature is seated, that they change this law. And, you know, that's what's going to have to happen in order. The people cannot speak to do it right now.
Right.
So it just makes, and why that makes me sad is all the women who are going to suffer. And it's not just women. I mean, they're partners also, but who are going to suffer because of this highly restrictive law. I know that Governor Hobbs said she is going to try to change things. She's going to do her best.
Right.
But that's not really the way our system works. I mean, I heard what she said. I read some commentary on it. It doesn't seem very likely. Great that she's trying it, though. I mean, shouldn't do nothing. But this whole thing is infuriating on many, many different levels.
Yeah. And the AG says she won't enforce the law. But we know the second and third order effects. It sounds great that there's just going to be this law, but it's an 1860, they took it all the way back to 1864, 160 years old. Mm-hmm. Way. I was posting pictures yesterday of women from the 1864, you know, I mean, we were in the middle of, you know, it was like, it's a long
time.
Yeah.
It was during the Civil War.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we have to give context to this because the craziness, the just constant craziness that we are inundated with.
Yeah.
You've got to have something break through that noise and, you know, really demonstrate where we are and what's going on.
Right. And that's the thing. It is. I mean, what I caught thinking back to with this 1864 part of it is we didn't understand modern science then, right? There was no modern science. Like, you know, women got the vapors, right? You know, hysteria, you were hysterical, right? And that's where the term comes from. And they basically said, oh, that's cool. And what frustrated me too, what made me really angry was they had chances to fix this, right? The Republican legislature did convene last year. There was a bill to roll back what they passed a bill in 2020. So for a lot of those who don't understand, in 2022, they did pass a bill with a 15-week ban. And that's bad enough, but it was contingent on the fact.
That's what they have now.
That's what they have now. But it was contingent. There was a poison pill in it that said, if Roe v. Wade is repealed, we will revert to the 1864 law. Well, it was technically 1912, I guess, but doesn't matter. We're still talking over 100 years ago. And I think, you know, it's the classic thing. It's like they didn't think that would, I think a lot of Republicans have lived comfortably on the belief and these anti-abortion people that Roe protected them, right? They could say whatever they wanted. They could say they hate, you know, hate abortion they want. But, you know, Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. There's nothing we can do, you know, and then the dog caught the fucking car. And here we are now. And they had a chance to fix this and decided not to. And they didn't. And so I guess what amazes me is now you're seeing how many Republicans from Arizona are coming out saying, whoa, we didn't want this. We didn't want this to strike. I mean, do they get a break for saying that? I mean, it's even Carrie Lake is spinning.
Even Carrie Lake. I was going to say, even Carrie Lake. Wait, great minds think alike, Fred. And fools often differ. Fools rarely differ. So. But it is, first of all, Carrie Lake, it really kind of, you know, she's never really, she's like on the team that is winning or she perceives to be winning. I don't think she's like the most loyal team member, but it is remarkable that they are going down this road, even when they know this is not what people want.
Right.
In Arizona, in Florida, in Ohio, in Kansas before us, And I think there are other states that I'm leaving out, and I'm sorry. But the laws, or we know it's not what people want. Florida, we're going to vote on it.
Right.
Arizona, this is not what polling shows us that the people want. This is minority rule.
Right.
The elected officials are doing what they want, which is not what their constituents want. This is a very dangerous place because not every state allows ballot measures.
Right.
And not every state can repeal it on their own. I have to ask why someone would still vote for someone who is willing to get rid of their rights, to negate their rights.
Right.
What are they offering you that you are willing to give up your rights? And what are you getting in return for this?
Yeah.
I think we're going to see some switches and some flips there, but you know, in Ohio they weren't electing their state legislature. They did vote to repeal it. But yeah. I mean, look, we know it's a very tight race there, both for President Biden and for Sherrod Brown running for re-election in the Senate. It's not like people are like, oh, you're right. We got to get rid of these crazy people. They're taking away our rights. That's not what people said. They were just like, okay, we need to course correct here. And we do want our rights, reproductive rights, but everything else you're doing is really great. Keep up the good work and we're going to re-elect you.
Right.
So thanks. Glad we could have this talk, but, and it is very frustrating. Now, there are Republicans who are thrilled about this. You and I were texting about Joni Ernst.
Yeah.
I mean, she is giddy. She might have like popped some champagne last night. She couldn't contain her excitement. She was like basically vibrating with just how excited she is that Arizona is going back to 1864 or 1912.
I've got that clip. I've got that clip. Let's watch that clip real quick. Let's watch the clip.
In the Arizona Supreme Court, it upholds near total abortion. It allows, I think, for the health of the mother, but that's all. This was a law that was codified in 1913, and it was first enacted in 1864. A lot of people are running away from it. What do you make of it, ma'am?
Well, hey, Larry, I am a mom, I am a brand new grandma, and I support life. And Senate Republicans, the GOP, and President Trump really worked hard to overturn Roe v. Wade. So we returned that back to the states. That is the law of the land with that Supreme Court decision. So the states are handling that. But again, we work very hard to get this result. Now the states will take that up.
So, yeah, you can see she's how many times she's saying that clip, Rachel? Like twice she said,
she's
pumped. We did this, you know.
By the way, speaking of Carrie Lake, you know, she's very similar to someone else I know, Donald Trump, who was like, this is not good for business, which I mean, he sells himself as a businessman. The facts say differently, but it does seem like in this case, he understands. People don't want what he's selling on abortion.
Right.
They thought they did, but then like people are like, it's a little bit too high a price to pay. We don't actually want that. And they, you know, it was like a mythical, sure, if you build a restaurant, we'll go eat there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Never thinking that they would. And then they did. And they were like, we're not eating in Donald Trump's restaurant. And he is, I think, seeing some internal polling, which is, I think, what precipitated his whatever it was on Monday.
I don't know what that was. Yeah.
I mean, you know, he tried to say, I don't know. He was trying to get out in front of this. He was trying to say, like, this is not what we want. Everyone wants this. Can we just calm down and stop talking about abortion? Because I think it's really going to hurt me. But also, he's not really like tied to any sort of values or morals or anything absolute. No. So it's easy for him to say. But, you know, you saw the reaction from Pence, from others who were like, well, this is like a whole tenet of what we believe. And those people are not going to turn back. I mean, they're not. No. Lindsey Graham. But I mean, they're still going to continue to go down this road. But I mean, I don't care about these people. Again, what I go back to is the women who are going to be hurt, who are going to die, maybe become sterile because of this, and the continued misinformation about what they're saying. And that really bothers me. And the number of people who are believing their information, their misinformation, because they still really want to hang on to this controlling of what women do with their bodies.
Well, let's talk about that, because you and I have talked about that a lot, I think, in our chats, is the misinformation about what is an abortion. Right. I think a lot of these, a lot of everybody, the thing about America that drives us crazy in a lot of ways is we don't do nuance well, right? We do black and white. Things black or white, right? Oh, good, bad, Trump bad, good, you know, and you know, abortion bad, you know, not Friedman good, you know. And, and they understand there's much more nuance to that. And unfortunately, these laws, especially a law written in 1864, for God's sake, but a lot of these laws even today that they say, oh, well, the life of a mother, well, they don't even tell them what the life of a mother is, or what the idea that a sepsis, like the ad that Biden put out, sepsis can lead you to not so maybe the mother survives, but she's never able to have a child again. That's a devastating thing for a family because a doctor waited. Then there's the second, third order effects of doctors leaving, like you said. But there's not a nuance. But we've got this poll. Actually, let's throw the poll up because it does get to that a little bit. And then we'll go back to talk. This poll came out from Fox News. And the poll says it's going against them. They're down to 7%. Just 7% of Americans think abortion should be illegal in all cases. 7%. That is an ultimate minority. But you're right. What is abortion? And we're, there's two tiers of this part of the conversation, I think. One, I mean, you've had experiences. Let's be honest. You've talked about it publicly before. You've technically, hello, dogs. We got, but for those listening, we have dog visitors. We don't stop our guests from having their dogs visit because that's fine. It's not that kind of a show. Have your dog. Having said that, you've got what was technically an abortion, but it wasn't, right? You had a miscarriage that led to. What's the nuance of this topic?
I've had two or three very early miscarriages, but I've had three ectopic pregnancies that have to be removed. The first two were removed by surgery. The first one was an emergency surgery. And then the other two times I was more attuned to what was causing it. And one was a surgery. The next time it was treated with medication. All those things would be illegal, by the way, even the medication would be illegal. And, but it was a much easier process because I caught it quite early, but the first two of my ectopic pregnancies, well, the truth is I would have died with the first one because I didn't have any time to play with. The second one, there was some time. If that had, you know, I might have been able to get to another state. But these things are considered abortion. There was a state legislator who went in Oklahoma, who went to your alma mater, West Point.
Of course.
And he, and we paid for this education, and he said, an ectopic pregnancy is just a child trying to live out the first moments of its life while killing the mother, the birthing vessel, as they like to call it. But she, I mean, an ectopic pregnancy is a pregnant, an extrauterine pregnancy, typically in a fallopian tube, although it can actually be, there are some instances where it can be outside the uterus. I don't really understand that, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It has to be removed for the life, the safety, the health of the mother. It has to be removed.
Right.
In 1864, in 1912, women who had these pregnancies would likely die. They really didn't even understand what this was at the time. Certainly, they would have been sterile if there was any kind of surgery, even the best, most sophisticated surgery. And I had an unpleasant conversation, I will just say, in my family group chat yesterday.
All right.
And with my brothers and their spouses and my husband. And I said, I do have a brother and sister-in-law who are quite religious, evangelical, and I love them. And I do not judge them for their beliefs. But I want, my point was to educate and be very clear. When they say no abortions, they mean no surgeries to remove ectopic pregnancies. They mean if a baby dies in utero, they won't remove that baby. And that's when you have the real risk of sepsis. These are the things. So don't fool yourself. It is easy to hide and fool yourself that we're not talking about the same thing. But again, my brother lives in Oklahoma. The legislator stood on the floor of the Oklahoma House and he said that it is an ectopic pregnancy is a baby, a child trying to live out the first moments of its life. And that is just not true. Even if you think that's life, and I struggled with infertility for so long that like to see the flicker of a heartbeat at 6 weeks was like what I dreamed of. I understand that life, but it is not a life that can exist outside of a womb. And it requires so many other things to happen for that to develop. So it's silly to get into the semantics of it, I think, but we do have to understand what they are categorizing as an abortion, which is why I did post on social media that I had three abortions. I don't consider those to be abortions. Yeah. I consider those to be life-saving procedures, but maybe they're one and the same. And if the Republicans are using that terminology, I am going to use that terminology. And women must speak out and share their experiences so that everyone knows what's happening and no one can say that they didn't know what happened. And sorry, while I'm on my soapbox, I'm just going to say, people trust people they know, people with whom they have rapport, people with whom they have relationships much more than they trust anyone on. I know we think that people watch Fox News and read, do their own research on the internet, and they believe that, and some do, but most don't.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important that we share our stories with those people that we know, even my brother and sister-in-law, even though it's uncomfortable, because I want them to take my story and share it with their friends.
Yep.
And in order to say, guys, we're just, this is, we say the dog that caught the car. I use the analogy of Forrest Gump, like, okay, you ran and you did well in the race, but they just kept running.
Yep.
Because they just didn't have anything else in their lives. And they just thought, we're just going to keep running. We're just keep doing this. And then it got to be wholly unhealthy. And here we are.
Well, and that's it. You know, one of my youngest memory, one of my earliest, probably one of my, if not my earliest memory ever, was staying at the top of our stairs in our little house in Kirkwood, Missouri, not far from where I'm sitting right now, as our family doctor showed up with his leather case and his old time, you know, 1950s, 60s fedora, you know, hat, you know, the old hat, and was, because my mom had an ectopic pregnancy and was grossly ill, was bleeding out in her bed. And he came and took it. So I almost lost my mother as a toddler. I definitely did lose what would have been my fourth sibling, I guess, fifth child in the family. That's literally my earliest memory. And I didn't find out until I was an adult what that was. I just remember this doctor showing. I remember asking my mom at some point, why was there a doctor? And do I have a weird memory of this? She goes, no, that was, you know, and it is a real thing. You know, and you're talking about that's 1968, 69. You know, this has always been a challenge. Women will die. And then again, we talk about the second, third order effects, which is doctors flee. I did an interview with Kaylee Peterson. Kaylee Peterson, she's running for Congress. Good. Right. In Northern Idaho. Yeah. What was it? Yeah. 25% of doctors have fled Northern Idaho. 50% of their clinics for giving birth have closed. Women are driving. One of her staffers had to drive 4.5 hours for a doctor's appointment for her pregnancy. That's a healthy pregnancy, but healthy pregnancies can turn unhealthy in the blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. My first wife passed, unfortunately, when she was pregnant. My second wife, we spent like every week in the ER at Triple Army Hospital in Hawaii because she was constantly in early birth, right? Constantly, I had to kind of stop. And I mean, both of my youngest children barely made it 7.5 months to get born. And this is just normal birth. It makes me crazy how many people don't understand just how hard giving birth to a child is on a woman, is medically still, even in 2024, and certainly not in 1864, you know, and they just dismiss it. They just dismiss it, how hard it is.
It is, but they want to go back to a law from 1864.
Yeah.
While using... But they're not thinking in the mindset of 1864 is the problem. And so they're excusing it and saying, but this. No, you still don't have time. And what we've seen in other states, the Biden campaign just came out with a great ad of the woman talking about what she experienced in Texas. But what you have are so many people who don't even understand. I mean, I'm in Florida. There are women who don't, younger women typically, they don't even understand that their rights have been infringed upon.
Right.
They are not aware of this situation. And we're trying to rectify that. But a lot of people don't understand. And I think that's what you see most in the conservative circles is that a lot of people don't even understand because, they're only hearing what they want to hear. And we have a lot of, you know, bias there that we want to verify our opinion and dismiss anything that's counter to that. And that's just human nature. I'm not faulting anyone necessarily, but you need to go with the hard facts. And the best way to do that is to look what's happened in other states, not what people tell you will happen, but what has happened.
Yeah.
And you're right. The access to care. I mean, Look, you remember the old days, the good old days when we were just talking about the teacher shortage because no one really wants to be treated like shit and then, you know, have like 30 kids in a class and get sick all the time and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, just wait. We won't have teachers because, but they don't have to worry about not having teachers because there aren't going to be any doctors, any medical professionals to deliver you, to do those high-risk pregnancies, to do any pregnancies at all. All pregnancies have to be monitored. And we take for granted just the basic prenatal care that we get. We also have one of the worst in the Western world, maternal death rates, maternal fetal death rates in the Western world. It is largely goes along the lines of race and ethnic and then socioeconomic lines, but it's still, there is an issue of access to care. And that's going to be a huge problem in Arizona. The governor and the attorney general are saying, we're going to do what we can, but somehow the disconnect is so huge that they are at odds with the state legislature. Like, how is this happening?
Yeah.
Because these small areas are electing very conservative people and very conservative legislators. And there's still this, like, it just, it really doesn't make sense when you look at the numbers, but it, I mean, we can look at the results and what's happening, and it's just, it's really disheartening.
I think let's take a pause. We got a couple sponsors I'd love to get to, and then I want to come back and talk about that aspect of it, the political aspect of it. You know what? It's springtime, and you can eat stress-free with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. And I love them. I think I've talked to you about Factor before. They're always fresh. They're never frozen. It's a chef crafted and dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You know, you could choose, they give you a menu of like 35 options every week, including pop-up options. Like there's a calorie smart version, keto, protein plus, there's vegan or veggie. And there's also like 60 add-ons you can do. There's power drinks. I mean, it is just an amazing line of food, lunch, snacks, beverages. All these things are designed to keep you staying fueled up, feeling good all day. So what are you waiting for? Honestly, it's so easy to get started today and set your springtime goals. We all got to get our summer bodies. I've got to get my summer body. It gets buried in the refrigerator right now, obviously. So you can get chef-prepared meals that are ready for your table in just 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals. So you can take back all that time and do the things you love. I like hanging out in my garden. I like working out in my garden this time of year. I like taking River Dog for walks. So the last thing I want to do is spend a lot of time in the kitchen trying to get these meals. The great thing about Factor is these are no muss, no fuss, easy to make meals that come out amazing. Tailored to your schedule, you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much as you want or as little as you need. You can pause or reschedule if you're traveling. It makes it so easy. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And you know what? They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for their Earth Month Eats badge in the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. So let's hear talk about how do you find them? Head to factormeals.com/Fred50 and use code Fred50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Fred50 at factormeals.com/Fred50. You'll get 50% off that first box, folks, and 20% off your second box. So please get that subscription in while your subscription is active. You get a great deal. I love these meals. I'm not even saying that. I really love Factor meals. Thanks for sponsoring our show. You know, we've talked about sustainable products here before, and I've been making a concerted effort to try and only use products that are toxin-free, all natural, and better for the environment. Now, generally, I would say that's most important to make these swaps in my kitchen. You know, that's where so many of the products we use can be wrapped in plastics. It's especially important to use all natural products when we're cleaning up around our food. Well, that's why I've been so excited to make the switch to Reels new bamboo paper towel. Now, just like all the Reels products, the paper towels are free of inks, dyes, and BPAs, 100% tree-free, and all the packaging is plastic-free, even down to the tape on the box. You know, for too long, the sustainable options for paper towels were a poor substitute, usually kind of flimsy, unabsorbent, and felt like those cheap paper towels you might find in the public restroom or back when I was in the Army. Now, Reels new bamboo paper towels, the first truly premium sustainable paper towels, and are up to 50% thicker and more absorbent than the leading sustainable brands. The sheets are two ply for extra absorbency, and thanks to the strength of bamboo, they can hold up to the toughest messes. And folks, I make tough messes in my house. I admit it freely. Now, while other conventional tree-based options are wrapped in plastic in the grocery aisle, Reels Papers packaging is plastic-free, compostable, and offers free shipping and all orders. Now, when I use Reel, it doesn't feel like I'm sacrificing something to help the earth. In fact, it feels like an upgrade from the paper towels I usually use. Now, Reel Paper is available in easy, hassle-free subscriptions or for one-time purchase on their website, just like our other products we've talked to you about before. Now, all orders conveniently delivered to your door with free shipping in 100% recyclable plastic-free packaging. Now, here's the thing I want you guys to do, okay? If you head now to realpaper.com/Fred, sign up for a subscription using my code Fred at checkout, you'll automatically get 30% off your first order and free shipping. That's REELPAPER.com/Fred, or enter promo code Fred to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping. So let's give Reels tree-free paper a try. Reel. Paper for the planet. So we were talking about a little bit before we left, and one thing, circling back to that piece at the beginning with the Kudlow piece, where they said, you know, there's still this weird belief on the right that women are going to forget, right? That the electorate's got. I've heard this before from. I've heard this from political professionals since Dobbs saying, well, you know, it was early in the term, so people forget. And I joke a lot on this, but I say about it, like, well, it's weird because women don't seem to be able to forget the fact that they don't have care of the, you know, be able to take care of their own bodies anymore. this isn't about upping your taxes where you forget because you get used to it. This is talking about a woman every day who's pregnant and can't find a, like Kaylee Peterson's staff that I mentioned earlier, driving 400 miles to get a, mm-hmm. just to get a prenatal appointment to hear the heartbeat. It is that they're not forgetting that. Okay. That's not going
it's
away.
Hard to forget.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't ever taken a 400 mile trip that I've forgotten.
Yeah.
And that's like never. And she's going to do that multiple times, presumably right. in her pregnancy.
If it's a smooth pregnancy, by the way. And that goes, and something you were saying before we left too is there the dog that caught the car, but they didn't stop. They ate that car and they're running for the next one, which is contraceptives, right? We're seeing a coordinated effort on the right.
We know this.
Yeah. Charlie Kirk.
IVF.
Infertility treatments. I mean, they've got to coordinate. The new thing on these fucking nutter incel things is that the pill is causing women to, I can't even follow it because it's so fucking insane.
I'm just going to tell you that I actually know about this. Because there was a time in my life when I used to listen to Focus on the Family.
Oh my gosh.
Me.
God bless you.
But I am going to say, like, because of that, I understand. Like, I remember hearing like descriptions of partial birth abortion and how that works and what it is. It's a bunch of nonsense. Like, it doesn't really happen. It's not something, you know, that happens all the time. Like, I encourage people to like kind of look up statistics about abortion. They're out there. Most women who have abortions had never had abortions before. It is not mostly teenagers. We've actually, the teenage pregnancy rate has
plummeted.
Dropped. Just tremendously in our country. And whenever we started, you know, teaching actual sex education, but we do know in places where abstinence only is taught, that is not the case.
No.
But you know, we have made a lot of progress. So that is not who has abortions. And when do abortions happen? You know, the vast majority are in the first trimester.
Yep.
And it is so this nonsense of, you know, abortion after a baby is born. I don't even know if it's not a thing. It's nonsensical.
Yeah.
But it is something that Trump has said multiple times, and other people make these claims. And I guess if you just want to be continually outraged, you can buy into it. But any thinking person can realize no one would do that. That is not the case. We also know, and I just want to point this out, that the majority of women who seek abortions are below the poverty line.
Yeah.
And this just goes to the way we treat women. And I think I'm going to get into your next point, maybe ahead of you, but it is the value we put on women, on helping, on children, on helping people. Cause we talk about life or they talk about life. I mean, I'm a fan of life too, but we talk about the importance of life, the focus on life, but where is the help for people? Because that's part of life too. And meanwhile, the Republicans are against helping anyone for any reason. I mean, this is really the hallmark of who they are, and it's quite confusing, but they do not want to help these women. They just want to make them have a baby, and they make it very difficult with, you know, turning away Medicaid aid, expanded Medicaid. They make it very difficult for people, for pregnant women to get what they need to, during pregnancy, after pregnancy, we get into childcare issues, et cetera, et cetera. And then where are we on either side when it comes to women's vote? I don't see a lot of that. And I'm a little bit frustrated with that as well.
Yeah, I think the battle, it's a constant refrain we hear on the conservative side is this, against them, if you will, is that, like you said, they say they want babies, they want birth, and they care about the baby, but they don't. Once a child's born, at the same time, like here in Missouri, we had one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country. They signed it. Eric Schmidt, when he was still pretending he was the AG before becoming a senator, signed it the minute Roe v. Wade was thrown down. At the same time, within a year, they started throwing kids off of Medicaid, going through the rolls of Medicaid kicking off. As we speak this week, the legislature's in session. You're not going to believe this one. They actually have a bill. The Republicans are fielding a bill sponsored by landlords, a big group of landlords, that wants to abrogate laws like that landlords do not have to comply with laws in local areas that demand diversity, they don't have to accept Section 8 housing vouchers. They want to be able to discriminate against people who are using Section 8. So they're actually going to increase the homeless population. So at the same time, they're saying you got to take care of families and babies, they're literally going to make it easier for landlords to put those people on the streets. It is a constant battle of dismissal and attacks on the weakest. Again, it goes again back. That's where there's so many layers that Kudlow clip. I think he's saying, oh, it's a one time thing. You should be able to get on a bus and go get an abortion. Holy shit, dude! First of all, that's not an easy thing. I mean, many women can't afford a bus too. They can't. You don't just roll up to an abortion clinic at the bus stop, hop out, get an abortion, hop back on and head home. It's a procedure. You have to get an appointment.
Yeah, there's
a waiting period, right? So you're talking several states. Texas, I think the closest to Texas is now fucking Illinois, for Christ's sake. It's such a privileged position for a white guy who's a right-wing talk host to sit there and say, oh, just get on a fucking butt. They don't understand. They have no intention of understanding the real plight of actual Americans. And this is where I get so angry a lot, is how the Republican Party has become anti-American. And I'm not saying just anti-American, we use like the patriot term. No, they literally hate fucking Americans.
Yeah.
Right? They hate their fellow Americans. They hate you if you're fucking poor. They hate you if you're a person of color. They hate you if you're a woman who needs help. They hate you if you need public assistance. They literally hate Americans. You know,
or women who want to have rights.
Right.
I mean, but you're right. Like if you want to stand up for yourself, if you want anything different than having white men in power, they hate you.
Right.
And it plays out time and time and time again.
It
three
does.
White men talking about what kind of access to healthcare women should have, having clearly no understanding of it.
None.
And that people watch it, that people agree with it, is gross.
Right. And of course, the big one, right, which you and I talk about a lot because you just moved to Florida. You and I joke a lot, but our favorite one is, well, I just moved to a different state. I don't even understand why you live in Missouri, Fred. I don't understand. Okay. Yeah, it's so easy for a family basically living on assistance or from paycheck to paycheck. We'll just pack our shit and go to a different state. What's the big deal? And we've talked about it more. Even if you are lucky enough to have health care, 90% of the time, it's tied to your fucking employer. So you want them to quit their job that has healthcare? It's like, it's just obtuseness.
It is. And I have to say that attitude really frustrates me. We moved to Florida. I know people didn't understand why we moved to Florida, but we had a community here. I don't feel like I need to explain and justify myself. But also, are we just supposed to cede certain states to wackos?
Well, there you go.
And then the people who live there are screwed and the rest of us just write them off? Is that what you want? Because I don't think that's right either. We are the United States of America. Where is the United place in that? Yes, you should be able to live. I mean, states, I think, have rights and they should be able to make certain rules, but there should be some like things that they can't touch. Access to healthcare is one of those things that states should not be able to touch. And this this is quite silly that we're having this debate about that. I wish we would let that go. I mean, I know anytime I post on social media, there's always some sort of comment about, well, you live in Florida.
Right.
Yes, I Every do. Time. I yeah. mean, I live in Missouri. Again, it's a beautiful place. It's a lovely place. The weather is nice and we love it.
Yeah.
So it might not be your cup of tea. That's fine. But it is fantastically frustrating that I see people even on our side mm-hmm. who just want to dismiss people. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of Republicans wouldn't want to live in California. Okay, great. I mean, you don't have to. No one's forcing you to. But just like if you don't want an abortion, you don't like abortion, you don't like birth control, don't use it. Don't get an abortion. If you don't like Florida, don't live here, but don't ruin it for me.
Right. Well, we had Rabbi Daniel Bogart on last week to talk about the mm-hmm. transgender issues and transgender fight. And he told me a shocking thing that I had not heard till we were on camera, which was that the eight or so families that he had originally been fighting in our capital, Jefferson City, Missouri, fighting for transgender rights, healthcare, transgender kids to be able to participate in sports. Mm-hmm. Of those eight or so families, he's the only one left. The other seven have voted with their feet and left our state. And where mm-hmm. does this end, folks? I mean, I can tell you statistics here in Missouri. Missouri now has more deaths than births each year. We have more outflow than inflow. We have schools, you know, we're closing. There's a university here right near my house. Fontbonne University is closing. It's been around for 40, 50 years. They don't have enough students anymore. Not enough students are coming. Mm-hmm. So this is where it ends. Hospitals closing, colleges closing, schools closing. Yeah, you'll get your lovely little white paradise. But guess what? Mm-hmm. It's going to fucking fail. And eventually your taxes will go up. You won't be able to get the stupidity, the cutting their own nose off despite their face. We see this all the time. We saw Hawley say this. Hawley, Josh Hawley, our abortion in chief here in Missouri, his wife helped overturn Roe, say all the time, well, then you just move somewhere else. Fine, go somewhere else. They want their little white utopia. But then what? It's still a goddamn taker state. More tax dollars for the federal government comes into the state mm-hmm. than goes out. It's just it is just this self-defeating. They want their little paradise. They want us to fucking pay for it. And it is frustrating. So I'll let you, last thing I want to talk about, how do we harness this energy? You know, you and I obviously are pissed. You know, you and I kick this around a lot. I mean, you're involved as a pro. Actually, we're both frustrated with it. You know, it is frustrating to me how the opposition to these things is fragmented. Each state has to make up their own group. They made up a complete new group here in Missouri to get on the ballot initiative mm-hmm. here. We call them, you know, IP. You know, it's how do we hang that? Is there a way to harness it better?
I don't know what's. I assume there are groups in Arizona, but it is really hard. I don't see a lot of national groups working with women. I see them. You know, there are some groups in working in certain states here and there, but there doesn't seem to be like a national group that can come in and say, okay, we're going to help. And that's a little frustrating. I have no doubt there are people on the ground in Arizona that are going to use this as a galvanizing issue. And actually after this, I have going to make some calls to Ruben Gallego's campaign and see, you know, if there's a group that I can, you know, maybe just kind of promote, you know, that is working, but because, you know, candidates would be aware of that, but it is a little challenging. In Florida, we have some groups because we had to organize in order to get the ballot measure. So there were signature collection was required. Yep. But it's a little disjointed, and I find that to be, you know, somewhat frustrating, to be honest with you. Yeah. But I just kind of think people expect women to do free labor. I mean, I'm not, I know you're a white man. I'm not trying to dog on you too much.
That's all right.
But it's the whole free labor thing that we're constantly is put on our shoulders and we're used to it. So I feel like this is a situation like that of women will just do it. They'll just figure it out. They won't complain. I mean, maybe they will complain to themselves or, you know, grumble, but in the end they'll just take care of it. And I think we will, and I think it's going to happen, but it would be nice to have some support and, you know, have an organization to go to. And, you know, so maybe that'll come in time.
Yeah.
But right now is the time to really harness that energy and make sure people are registered to vote And then, you know, as we get into the fall, we're, you know, have huge get out the vote campaigns. But the most important thing right now is to make people aware of what's happening and register them to vote. And those should be ongoing things that everyone is doing in your community. And if you can tie into a group in one of these swing states and help them in any way you can, everyone should do that.
I love it. That helps me a lot. And I agree. And I always tell people on the show, and I'm sure they're sick of hearing it, is start local, find out who's doing it in your area, go there and volunteer and become part of the battle. Start local is the best place to start.
And you see that it's easy. Yeah, you do talk about it all the time. And you see that it's like, it's not as intimidating as you think it is. It's okay. You can start from zero and go in because this is, it's not hard.
Yeah.
And they will just be glad to have you.
Yeah.
And if they're not, go to a different group, but they're going to be. But I mean, if there's any kind of issue at all, I mean, there are people working and people doing things and they're just going to be glad to have some company and show you how to do it. So don't be intimidated.
Our initiative.
I'm a
here.
Person who's intimidated, so I always like to say that because
you're famously shy. I've always known you as being very shy.
Well, I don't like to try new things. I don't like change. I don't like to try new things, and I don't like to fail because I'm a bit of a perfectionist.
Yes.
So that's why I don't do things that I'm like. Well, what if I don't know exactly how to do this when I show up? And I mean, of course, I'm not. But I mean. It's really not rocket science.
No, it isn't. People vote, they want you to learn. Right.
I mean, it's really not hard, guys.
You know, we're doing the initiative petition here in Missouri, and you have to get signatures from like every county or some ridiculous number. And it's going well. Like one of their biggest nights was the opening night of the Cardinals baseball game. Because you know what? People from all over freaking Missouri go to the Cardinals game, you know? And they vacuumed up like a couple thousand signatures standing outside the stadium here in St. Louis. And again, we will win, but it takes participation. It takes, again, I say it all the time. We're winning. We are winning. I know it's hard to believe on days like today or the weeks like this one where you see them win these battles, like taking us back to 1864. But we are winning when we see actual election results. But it takes work. It's like, you know, it's like we were winning in 1944, but we still had another year of war. Well, you know, funny thing, we were winning in 1864, ironically. I mean, what happened in 1864? Sherman's March to the Sea. You know, that was successful if you're on one side of it. You know, it was hard to see. You know, we still had a lot of fighting to go. We still had the entire campaign for Richmond. I lived in Richmond. There's a bridge in Richmond where they lay out the quotes from the fall of Richmond, and you know, from oh my God, I see Union troops coming into town. And you know, if you don't know, people don't know that Richmond actually burned that day. The Confederates themselves set fire to their fleet and set fire to their ammunition factories as they fled the city and all the bridges. And the Union troops put it out, colored black troops. Put out the fire of Richmond, along with slaves who were suddenly free. And so it took fighting, though. It took that last gasp of flames. I think about that all the time because, you know, now it's April. We're recording this the day after. This is the week that the Civil War ended, ironic, I suppose, but not, 9 days after the fall of Richmond, because we kept fighting till the end. Grant didn't stop at Richmond when he captured their capital. He kept pursuing Lee across North Virginia, west to Appomattox Courthouse, because the war was not won till it was won. And while we are winning, we're all going to have to get in the fight in some way. And that means calling up Arizona, or if you live in Washington, sending, you know, go to DNC website, you can make calls. There's a million ways. I won't keep you, but you need to get to work. Go call Ruben Gallego. Tell him to call me back. He's supposed to be on the show. And where can people find you? Do it. Where can people find you?
I'm on Threads. Yes.
You love Threads.
And Instagram, Rachel Vindman. And on Twitter, maybe once or twice a week.
When you get mad. I know. You go on when you're mad. I know.
And they gave me my check back and then I hit it.
Oh, so, God. I got to figure out how to hide mine.
It was really not intuitive, but right. Anyway, it was just a very silly thing that I did, but I did it. So anyway,
all right,
but
sister.
It was great. Thank you for joining me again. And this is just an issue. I know everyone is really feeling it. I know I'm not the only one, but it only matters if we do something, if we use this to burn, you know, to just stoke that fire inside us that wants more than anything to get our country out of the jaws of these wannabe authoritarians and to try to pull it back. And this is how we do it. We do it by using their mistakes against them. It is truly like a battle, like a war.
It is. Well, we're good at fighting them. So a military family. Yep. So thanks, sister. Enjoy your day. We'll see you soon.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. That was great. And I want to keep pulling that thread. 1864. That's the law they've taken us back to, 1864. And what a year it was, right? A year after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Sherman's March to Sea was occurring. Grant was taking charge of the Army of Northern Virginia. The Potomac, I believe. Doesn't matter. Grant was taking charge of Northern troops, trying to take Richmond, trying to end the war, maneuvering with Lee. All these things happened. The Petersburg Campaign, the Great Crater, you know, all those things happened. 1864, 1865. So in many ways, we're back to 1864 again. And the place we are in America is this final year of the battle. If you take that attitude, that we are in the final year, we're in the year of the culminating year of our battle for democracy, the culminating year of Donald Trump's malicious influence, the culminating year of the far right getting so far out of step with America, Marjorie Taylor Greene every day spouting Russian talking points about Ukraine, the audacity to accuse Ukraine of being anti-Christian, which the anti-Semitic attack basically on the president of Ukraine, who has to be Jewish, while Russians have bombed churches and executed dozens and dozens of priests and members of the Christian church. All these lies, we're culminating, we're there. But the thing is, we're not going to win unless we keep fighting. As I mentioned in the conversation with Rachel, Grant didn't stop at Richmond. He drove right around it, kept going, because he knew the center of battle was Robert E. Lee for the Confederacy, that he had to stop Lee's army. As long as Lee had an army in the field, the war would continue. It wasn't just about capturing them. And that's the thing. As long as Donald J. Trump is still on the field, as long as Republican supermajorities in your state legislatures or other state legislatures are going, as long as Republicans hold the House or potentially take back the Senate, as long as any of that's possible, this war will not end. This war on women, this war on our rights as a country, this war on our democracy, Project 2025, the most malicious and malevolent plan I've ever read in my life. Talk about implementing the Insurrection Act day one, stopping freedom of protest. Talk about gutting the civil rights, the civil service of our government, and pushing out employees. People forget. You know, Richard Nixon got in trouble because he had an enemies list and he wanted the IRS to attack his enemies. That's how Richard Nixon got in trouble, folks. Every time about the Watergate, what he got in trouble for, he was pushed out because he was trying to use his enemies. You know, his IRS that he led against his enemies. Do you really think with Project 2025 and Schedule F, with 30 or 50,000 MAGA acolytes being injected into our government, that they won't use the IRS against people like you and me? You're damn right they will. So we're in the battle. I keep saying we're winning. My friends keep saying we're winning. But the only way we win is we keep fighting. The war was not over when Richmond fell, April 4th, I think, 1865. It ended on April 9th, 1865, when Lee couldn't run anymore and surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse to U.S. Grant. So take that to heart. Don't get despondent about these current battles, right? We're going to lose few. We're going to win a few. Matter of fact, the thing I've learned about war, sometimes what you thought was a loss is actually a win. So it's tough. They think they won a big battle by getting this law turned back to 1864. All they did was wake a sleeping giant now. Every one of these attacks on women's rights just wakes them more to the assault on their freedom. The idea of freedom movement. And that's the final thing I'll mention. We didn't even get to it in the show talking to Rachel. The real punchline of that story where that jackass, Mark Simone, said that women can just get on a bus and go get abortion is states like Texas are actually passing two things. One, a bounty law. So if you find out your neighbor got an abortion, a private citizen can sue them for a minimum of $10,000. So if a woman does get on that bus and a neighbor finds out, she could be sued. Two, there's actually localities in Texas passing laws where if a woman presses through a highway going to get an abortion in New Mexico, she can be arrested or sued for that too. So this idea by these privileged people, older men, that women can just simply get on a bus is not just ludicrous on its face, but actually illegal in many places in the United States of America in 2024. I don't know how much more I can pound one issue as an entire episode, which we've never done before, I think, or rarely. But this is such an important issue. Even if it doesn't affect you in any way, even if you're past childbearing age, even if you don't have kids or don't want kids, even if you've had all the kids you're going to have, it will affect you in ways that will devastate your family for decades to come. Devastate your state for decades to come. We have a world-class medical school here, Washington University in St. Louis. What doctor is going to want to come here to train in this institution when they can't even practice modern medicine? Because that's what abortion care is. That's what women's healthcare, reproductive rights are, modern healthcare. These people are destroying your homes for the religious, far-right, extreme goals. So with that, get back in the fight. I am Fred Wellman, host of On Demoxy, FP Wellman, right here on the Midas Touch Network, as well as our own channel, On Demoxy Podcast. You can always find me on X. I've apparently had my blue check thrust back on me at FP Wellman. I'm also on Threads and Instagram as FP Wellman Official. Follow the show, On Demoxy Pod, on Twitter as well. Anywhere you can find us, I urge you to leave a comment, leave a like, come at us, have a conversation. I try to answer you guys online on YouTube, wherever I hear from you. I appreciate you being part of this network. If you want to sign up for our Substack, I think we've thrown it up on screen a couple times. It's fwellman.substack.com. We're growing that community as well. A lot to do, folks. A lot to do. I hope you'll keep us in the fight.